chances going through the weekend, upper 80s. Richard DeWetting at the Weather Channel for Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
It's 74 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with four-time SEC champion and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
Here's college football playoff national champion Christian Miller on Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC.
And welcome into this Thursday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Hope you guys are doing well, staying dry. I know me and Chase were just talking about all this rain we've got, man. I guess we're on flood watch as well, so make sure you guys are paying attention to that. You know, when I used to have my big old trucks, Chase, I used to think it was a little fun kind of driving the big puddles like that. Probably not the best idea to be doing stuff like that today if we're, in fact, on a flood watch. So make sure you guys keep up with the weather on that. I know James Spann pops up in between shows and stuff like that. So make sure you tune into that. And that's why you listen to Tide 100.9. We'll keep you guys covered on not just sports, but any weather updates. And as I look at the weather, Chase, looks like we're going to be pretty rained out like for like a week plus, man. So I don't know. It feels like we're still dealing with some spring weather, even though we're in the dog days of summer. But it is what it is, man. We just, I guess, got to wear our coats and use umbrellas. Do you use an umbrella, Chase? I'm not going to lie to you, man. I just thought about it. Are umbrellas a thing of the past? Is that like an older generation thing? Because I'll be honest with you, man. I don't have an umbrella. Never have really used an umbrella. I remember growing up, all the parents had umbrellas, whether it was at football practice or whatever it was. I can't say I see anybody. Granted, I guess I'm getting old now, too, just hit the big 30. But does our generation, do we use umbrellas like that? Do we just say to hell with umbrellas? We just throw a hood on? I mean, what happened to umbrellas, man?
Just weren't cool like that anymore. I guess windbreakers and, you know, Nike Techs is just where it's at, you know?
Yeah.
But no, I feel you. I don't see, even like if I'm going to a grocery store, like even parents with their little kiddos, they just be underneath their jacket and be like, come on, let's go. We're going to the grocery store.
Yeah, that's a good point. Even the parents, I don't really see umbrellas anymore, man. I don't know. Listen, I was joking around the other day about AI. Because I was talking to Jamie Mosley, who's now the defense line coach at Stanford, and he was telling me, and I guess I shouldn't be surprised, right? You talk about Stanford University. We're talking about a prestigious university. I'm sure there's a bunch of smart people on that campus. He said there was like a professor over there that developed a phone. And get this, you know, Apple, we have Siri and you got ChatGPT and all this. He said they developed a phone where the whole phone is app-less because it's basically powered through AI. And so I was like, okay, all right. You know, as much as I use ChatGPT, whether it's practicing Spanish, making thumbnails, asking for cooking recipes or advice, if your dog swallows something, does he need to throw it up or take him to, like, I mean, like, you can ask it pretty much anything, right? Well, long story short, I was kind of thinking, I'm like, man, now they're talking about phones that are just app-less. It's just the whole phone basically is just recommending things based off a routine and all that. I'm like, that's kind of crazy. And then I guess maybe that's why I thought about the whole umbrella thing. I'm like, man. You think about it, Chase, things are kind of changing quick. I just saw a video yesterday explaining how people are now using AI to make YouTube channels, and the AI basically makes all the video and all the content. And these YouTube channels are making like $50,000 a month, all driven by AI-produced content. Now, let's be clear. Is all the manual labor we put into this show, we aren't even, not even close. I mean, you're talking about off of ad revenue. We're lucky we make $100 a month. Just, I mean, so maybe we do need to start using AI to do the show. Maybe we need to let AI run the show here on the Miller's Edge, Chase. Maybe it can run up 50 stacks a month, man. It's just crazy to think about. But I don't know, man. Maybe umbrellas are kind of going extinct too. Anything else you think of that used to kind of be a big thing and we just don't really see much of? I know we're kind of off topic here, but. It's kind of an interesting conversation. Anything you can think of off the top of your head? I will say this.
Yeah, you can go ahead.
The phones have changed, Chase, to the point where I remember, again, I'm at the old age of 30, but I remember like the first phone, which I used to just take my dad's old phone. So I had a phone before. Because nowadays, I feel like kids are like 8 years old, 10 years old, and they have cell phones. Back in the day, it wasn't like that. But I was like 8 or 10 or whatever the age was. And I had a phone because I just took my dad's old phone. But it was crazy because I remember just like playing Snake on there now you can play full scale games on. I mean, like, it's like phones are literally cameras. I mean, it's everything. It's kind of crazy to think about. Anything you can think of is kind of just different.
I think just with how advanced technology is going to, Christian, that it's, you know, the movie WALL-E? I feel like it's going to turn into that, where everything is so like there's going to be no more trees, we're going to be on a big, big ship in the space, and then they're not even going to know how to water a plant, because we're so reliant on that. Like, I'm afraid, because it's like you said it, like, our, like, my phone right here, like, I can literally just, even when I see, like, hey, Siri, it'll show up like ChatGPT. It won't bring up the voice anymore. So I think with ChatGPT being so involved in our lives, it's going to be like water. Like, we're going to necessarily need it. And, like, I don't know how to feel about that.
We'll see. I mean, we already are starting to see it make its way into sports. We talked last week about that USC, Southern Cal. I guess might want to offend my dad on this one. The real USC. I don't know which one's the real one. Anyway, one of the USC, Southern Cal, they hired their own AI expert, man, to help out with football. We'll see how that goes. I'm sure you could probably you could find a way or find a role for AI. Hopefully, it doesn't start replacing coaching jobs. That would be crazy. Start having a AI call plays, but I wouldn't be shocked if you ever see that in the future. Anyway, we're going to talk some football here on the show. We got a number of things to talk about. We will be joined by Brandon Clear at 11:30. We will be joined by Mr. Adam Lamparello, our official legal representation, at the top of the hour. Glad that he's coming on the show today, Chase, because we got some big news regarding the Protect College Sports Act, and I just got that on the first try. Thank God I was looking at it just a second ago. But the big news, Chase, is it actually passed the Senate Commerce Committee 19-9, and now is making its way to the Senate floor. So it is moving along. Now, remember, when we originally brought it up, we hit some of the key points. We'll go into detail on that in a little bit. But you did have the SEC and the Big Ten. They gave a little bit of pushback. There's a couple things that they wanted to see tweaked. I don't believe they necessarily got those things tweaked. In fact, one of the major developments, I say major developments, I don't even know if it's that big of a deal, but it's probably one of the more noteworthy ones. The whole anti-Super League provision, which I think that was one of the big pieces the SEC and the Big Ten weren't too happy with. Well, they actually adjusted it. So now it not only includes those two conferences, which are widely viewed as the most dominant conferences, which I think everybody agrees on that point. But now, with the lowered stipulation from $1 billion to $700 million in revenue, it's now going to include the ACC and the Big 12 as well. So I guess on one end, it sounds like there's a little bit more parity in terms of holding these conferences to that standard, you know, keeping them from making these big super leagues. But clearly the SEC and the Big Ten aren't going to be too happy about that, because I think they were trying to get rid of that entirely or adjusted where it wasn't going to be the way it was. But maybe they just said, hey, well, all right, well, if it's not just y'all two, we'll just add a couple other people or conferences, I should say, in there and just roll with it. So we'll talk about that with Adam, since he's our legal expert. He'll be able to give us a lot more information and get his thoughts. And then, of course, we'll get Brandon's thoughts on that as well. And a couple other things we'll hit on and discuss here on the show. I thought this was kind of cool, Chase. Now, I don't know if we can play. We'll try to play this, maybe if we can, but I wish we had a big list to choose from. I saw Crane and Cone posted this on their X account. I thought it was cool. They did a college football program draft where you had to draft an athletic director, a head coach, offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, quarterback, running back, wide receiver. Excuse me, guys. I'm sorry. Offensive line, defense, and a stadium. So all that criteria. Now, that's a lot to cover. Now, we only have a couple of us, me and you right now, I guess, playing. I don't think anybody else in the studio with you today, but maybe me and you can go back and forth on a draft and kind of pick some of those things. Probably better if we play with more people, because it would be more challenging, right, to get really what you want. But I thought it was pretty cool. Of course, offense getting all the love, man. You got specific quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers in the offensive line. Defense, just defense. Which I guess is kind of how it always is, but I don't know. You know, as a defensive guy, man, I'm tired of offense getting all the love. Maybe we'll have some fun with that. Plus, our guy Clint Lamb at Cover Crimson, he started doing his top, I think he said top 50 players, if I'm not mistaken, but he started with his top 10. He went ahead and dropped it. I know we'll talk with him next week regarding that, but maybe we'll go ahead and get a head start, Chase. Take a look at his top 10 players for this team and see if we agree with it, see if there's anything that we would tweak. Maybe we'll do that as well. So we got plenty of things to dive into. And, of course, we always encourage you guys to get in on the conversation. 205-342-9904 is the number to the program. If you guys want to call in, you're always welcome to join our streams at the Miller's Edge on YouTube, on X, same handle on my personal X account at Christian Mill, or the Tide 100.9 Facebook page as well. We got to hit a timeout. When we come back, we keep on rolling. We kick things off on this Thursday Blitz edition. Brandon Clear coming up at 11:30. Mr. Adam Lamprello at the top of the hour. And of course, you guys, when you're ready to get on the conversation right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC.
Contacted once all the tickets are sold, you don't have to be present to win. To purchase tickets, Venmo at Brandon-Massengale or bring cash to Jess Sumner at Cypress Supply.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Thursday edition of The Game, we're going to talk to Chris Hummer from 247 Sports. We'll get the latest in the world of college football from a national perspective. Rodney Orr, TiderInsider.com, will set the stage for the weekend, another big recruiting weekend on the campus of the University of Alabama. We're also going to visit with Bruce Marshall. We'll run through some handicapping odds around college football starting at 2 p.m. on The Game with Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
Longest running sports talk show in Tuscaloosa. The Game with Ryan Fowler. Weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. on Tide 100.9 and 1230 a.m. WTBC. And streaming worldwide on the free Tide app. A national championship team covering a national championship team. The best sports talk in the state. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Edition, or I can't clear my throat edition of the Miller's Edge. I apologize. Tried to give me some vitamin water. Didn't seem to really help there. But anyway, we were just chatting a little bit during the break again. We always encourage you guys to check us out on the streams if you haven't already. During the timeouts, we talk a little bit, answer questions, and yeah, just hang out. So come hang out with us at the Miller's Edge. Chase, I pulled this up during the break, so we might as well hit this real quick. And I haven't asked you this. The latest recruiting rankings, man, Alabama's at 16th. I know a lot of people aren't too happy about that. We did hear from Coach DeBoer, and he did mention that there's a number of silent commits. I think Gales is definitely one of those guys. I'm curious about maybe some of the others, maybe the defensive lineman that I like a lot out of I pronounce it Louisville High School. Maybe in Mississippi, they don't pronounce it correctly. Maybe it's because I've heard other people say Louisville. So whichever one it is, Louisville, Louisville, that defensive tackle. Listen, I like him a lot. If we were able to get Gales, which I'm like 98% positive, he's one of those silent commits. And this young man, Mitchell Turner, thank you. You guys know you got to remind me on names, terrible names. I think those are two solid recruits. I'm not talking about like rankings wise, just the, and I haven't seen his Gales. I tried to watch as much as I could, but a lot of it was coming from like these camps and stuff he was at. I did see some of his high school tape, but it wasn't a whole bunch. But I think he's going to be a quality football player, man. I think he just, to me, he you can just look at guys, see how they move, just see, you know what I mean? Like the things that they're able to do. And he just looks like he has something to him, you know? So I would be excited about that for sure. And I like Mitchell Turner a lot. I think if you land those guys, I think it helps kind of get a little bit of a positive momentum, you know, for this class, which is going to be small. We all know that. But Chase, does it look a little funny when we pull up this graphic and you just see Alabama at 16? I know I'm just joking around about it. I mean, I don't think it's that big of a deal, but others do. What do you think when you see Alabama dead last like that and recruited, man? It does look a little interesting, right?
There's a smidge concerning, you know. Had to kind of calm some callers down this week about it, you know, because they follow recruiting and what goes on between those lines. But no, it's just kind of the state of college football, you know. And there's been plenty of times where we've seen these kind of recruiting rankings, and half those teams, when those kids step onto campus and get rolling, it's not what we think it is. So I think it's just transitioning into this phase of high school recruiting is just not big like it used to be. I was talking to somebody earlier about it. I was like, when was the last time you spoke to somebody about National Signing Day and they were telling you, like, yeah, I stayed up till like 4 a.m. in the morning and, you know, I was ready to watch it. It just was kind of passed over. So it's just kind of the state of where it is. And my heart hurts for kids who work hard to get recognized for those certain things because, you know, when you were getting recruited, Christian, and people before you, like, it was such a big thing. Nowadays, it's just kind of a regular Monday, and they get ready for what's next in the athletic calendar for college football. But I don't think it's a big deal, honestly. You just continue to trust Kalen DeBoer and Courtney Morgan and why they were hired. You know, high school recruiting is not the whole thing to what Alabama football is. It's who puts on that uniform and who's trusted to be on the offense and the defense and the special teams that makes it every Saturday and ultimately leads to the goal of winning a championship. So, you know, kudos to all the other teams like Texas A&M and Oklahoma and Florida for having those spots. You know, we got to give it up to them. But I'm ready just to see who can use that to their advantage, because A&M, you know, they can have all the money they want, but it's not translating. And they're having more question marks than answers.
Well, I was going to say, and I think it's important that you really look at all the factors here, because I got it pulled up here. And again, On3, I feel like it's the new probably standard when it comes to looking at this stuff, I would say. And I wanted to look at the total, right? Because we all know, I mean, the total number of commits, the way they calculate it, it takes that into the equation, as well as the average rating or ranking of each individual as well. But with Alabama sitting at 8 total commits, that is the lowest amount of total commits out of anybody in the conference, right? Oklahoma has a total of 25. They're sitting at number 2. Texas A&M is at number 1. They've got 22 total. The next, I guess, lowest would be South Carolina, who only has one more, and they're sitting at 9. However, I will add, if you go off of the average rating right now as well, that is currently the lowest out of any team as well. We're at like an average score or rating, whatever the term they use nowadays, 84.76. That is actually the lowest as well. So I'd imagine that part will bump up a little bit once they land or officially land some more of these players that are quote unquote silent commits. But I mean, like I said, I get both sides. I understand people being concerned, but also understand that they're pretty comfortable with where they're at as a roster, and that's kind of the route it seems like they're taking. You just got to just wait and see, right? I mean, I'm sure they have a better idea than pretty much all of us on the outside looking in, but we'll just have to kind of wait and see how that whole thing, I guess, it really works out. But we'll know more about that and other stuff coming up, because we will talk a little bit about how this is really going to be navigated here shortly, Chase, because remember, this bill is making some momentum, right? And a large part of it will include management of rosters, athletes, pay, all that good stuff. So we'll definitely be talking about that and how this could be affected, because I'll be honest with you, man. The way we kind of go about things, I don't think it will come to, like, I don't think this bill will affect us too much, because I feel like the way we recruit, the way we manage things, I feel like we're very respectful of the process. We try to do it the right way. But these other schools, Chase, they might be in a little bit of trouble. You know what I mean? In terms of all these, because I've been hearing a lot of noise about a lot of checks that schools are writing that aren't going to be cashed. And that could cause a lot of issues when you think about the representation of these players that are expecting something. And then a couple months go by and it's like, hey, man, so about that check that I'm supposed to be receiving, and it's just not showing up. And then what's going to happen once this bill officially gets passed, and then that might start putting some guidelines on things. There's probably going to be a lot of folks that aren't too happy, Chase, if I had to guess. So maybe Alabama ends up getting the last laugh. People might be complaining right now about the rankings, but I don't know. Maybe they know something we don't, and they might be sitting there with the last laugh at the end of the day. Before we hit the timeout, I got to remind you about our friends over at Lamparilla Law, Education, and Advocacy. Again, Adam will be joining us here at the top of the hour, but they are responsible for representing you guys in a first-class manner. And, of course, at affordable rates, check them out today. Lamparilla-law.com is the website. You can schedule a consultation. You can learn all about that, all the services that they offer, because it's not just criminal defense matter, NIL, or even academic misconduct, but also test taking preparation, subject matter mastery, and of course that academic and career planning for high school, college, and graduate students. So check them out today, lamparilla-law.com. They're our official legal representation here on the show, and Adam will be joining us talking a little bit about this bill that's been passed and more coming up. But first, we hit this timeout. We come back, we're joined by Brandon Clear, former Clemson wide receiver, talking about this and more with him after this quick break right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC.
Offers long-lasting pain relief. Feel up to 12 hours of back pain relief with one dose. Feel Aleve. Use as directed for minor aches and pains.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9217.
That's 800-553-7217. What do you have to lose? Call 800-553-7217. Again, 800-553-7217.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparilla Law, Education, and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparilla, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy. For guidance you can trust, call 201-317-5115 or visit lamparilla-law. That's Lamparilla Law, Education, and Advocacy. Proud
partner. Hey, y'all. This is Alabama offensive lineman William Sanders, and you're listening to Tide 100.9, the home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
into this Thursday edition of Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Now we're joined by Brandon Clear, former Clemson wide receiver, Mr. Burberry himself in the flesh. He came on here stunned today with the Burberry shirt. Brandon, welcome in, brother.
Hey, appreciate Miller's Edge fans for having me. Always great checking in on a Thursday.
I'll call you Burberry Brandon today, man. That's the only right I do that. Hey, listen.
How old is it?
We were talking a little bit about this Protect College Sports Act that has officially passed the Senate Commerce Committee. 19-9, now it's going to head to the Senate floor, so it's gaining some traction. I know the Big Ten, we were talking about this, Big Ten SEC posed a little bit of what they were initially going for. I did see that they made some revisions, but didn't really make any revisions that went in the favor of what the Big Ten SEC wanted, because I think the whole thing was they didn't want anything involved in there that would limit them from forming super leagues, or I guess that's kind of the direction it was going. Well, they made revisions, Brandon, but it wasn't to necessarily get rid of it. They actually just lowered the threshold to, I think, $700 million from $1 billion in revenue, which now would include the ACC in the Big 12. From what you read up on that, I mean, what is the significance of that, I guess that revision now including those leagues? I mean, so they still are trying to make it so legally you can't form a super league, which I would assume, let's start here. Do you think that's a good thing, or do you think that's bad? That obviously I don't think we need super leagues, but when it's, you know, legally there, that's a little bit of a, I don't know. It feels interesting when you get like the legal side involved, you know what I mean? Like, it's kind of like, hey, legally you said you can't do this. I almost feel like that's where people get a little gun shy there.
Well, it's tricky. So when you get the government involved, they have to look at it from the broader picture. You can't have a monopoly on a business. And so the NCAA, that's why the NCAA just, again, is folding. They had a monopoly on athletes generating funds, but they didn't have to pay them. That was the whole premise of the organization, right? Where you and I were trying to figure out how we're going to eat, and they're just giving us, you know, chump change. Right. And yet we have commercials where you sign off your likeness and they have access to use you in all things that are NCAA related and generate funding off of that. But yet they don't have to pay you anything. So the universities, they don't want to go back to that, the ones that are being successful, because if the government gets involved and they're capping the ability to what they call a monopoly, if the SEC and the Big Ten pull away, your entire football conglomerate folds. The right. best teams are in those two entities. And so that means if you have a Big 12, if those teams start breaking away, the ones that have some type of success or have the financial means to do it, they'll join one of those conferences. So then where does that leave everyone else? And that goes to the ACC as well. The ACC, Florida State, a couple of these other, Clemson, they could leave. You don't think the SEC would take a Clemson? You don't think the SEC would take a Florida State? They would, because of the brand lineage. But they're not taking a Duke. Not taking a Stanford. And so these other teams are trying to protect themselves from a Big Ten or the SEC coming together and pulling away all of the financial compensation that they would get by even having games or having the potential to play those types of teams. So if you're one of those lesser than opponents in the whole construct, you have to protect your ability to, one, compete, but two, not be left out in the fray. Because the SEC and Big Ten will be fine with or without the NCAA. That's just the reality. Those two entities could come together and form something crazy. And I've already told you that's what I believe is eventually going to happen in the future. I believe that genuinely. If you get a Congress involved and they start limiting that ability to do that, you're going to be hard-pressed to find anyone in those two organizations signing off on that. They're not going to, because you limit their ability to have flexibility to hold everyone else accountable. So you get a Notre Dame that just has flexibility. Notre Dame got basically punished, right? Because they're like, we got flexibility. They can compete with anyone, but they don't have to play in a conference championship. So you go 12-0, but then you don't have to go in a conference championship. Why would you not be punished? That's crazy. You have flexibility. You can join a conference if you're choosing not to. So right. Again, how Notre Dame has that same mindset, the SEC and the Big Ten will carry very similar weights because they generate so much money. They're like, we are not beholden to these lesser than conferences. They're beholden to us. Now you're trying to strip our power to dictate how this thing is going to go. So it's a bigger picture, but those two entities are going to be the ones that are going to be driving some of this. Mm-hmm. And if they don't allow them to do it, it's not going to work.
But do they have that power, Brandon? I guess that's my question. I mean, because this is kind of already, I mean, this is a bill that's, you know, making its way to the Senate. And I don't know. I mean, here's a statement that was put as a joint statement from the Big Ten and SEC. It's kind of crazy. You're talking about two entities and conferences that seem like we never can see eye to eye on things. But with this whole deal, we're best of buds. They put out the statement that reads, from the outset, we identified a set of essential revisions to the PCSA necessary for the long-term sustainability of college athletics. We have worked with both majority and minority staff to advance those revisions, which focus on better supporting student athletes and stabilizing the college sports environment. We continue to believe revisions are needed to secure our support for the bill. Despite our sustained engagement and good faith efforts, these critical revisions have not been accepted. We are encouraged that several Commerce Committee members share our concerns and support these recommendations. We will continue working with stakeholders to ensure the PCSA delivers meaningful protections for student athletes and lasting stability for college sports. They mentioned the stability and protection for student athletes, Brandon. Are you buying that? And you mentioned that you feel like that's kind of what's in the future, that eventually there will be a super conference or these two big conferences breaking away. Is that good for the sport? Or do you feel like that's okay if that happens? And I know we're talking about getting the government involved. I also feel like you don't want them having too much control over things, because I feel like that's a little bit, I guess, worrisome as well. So where is that proper balance, I guess I'm asking?
So everything that's happening right now, it's in a power vacuum. You've got the players, in my opinion, have too much power. I know that's probably controversial. They have too much power. You should not have unlimited amount of time to transfer, mm-hmm. because then you hold your organization in a tight spot where... You remember Washington's quarterback was trying to roll over to Miami, and Washington said, we're going to sue you. You're going to pay us the money back. That's the type of things. But what happens if you're suing them and then Texas is like, don't worry, we'll foot the bill. That's happening, right? So then that the power with the athletes is too much. And then you have the universities trying to pull back some of that while also creating in their minds parity. Parity will never exist, because what will ultimately always outweigh the financial compensation that maybe one or two players get are who's getting me to the NFL. And, you know, again, Indiana is an outlier in that, in my opinion, because they've been doing well these past couple of years. But I also believe some of their success has been a benefit of the transfer portal, where he took his entire team over. So they had a continuity, and he was able to fill in certain pieces with maybe some, you know, one or two elite players that could really take his organization over to another level. So Indiana is not consistently putting out NFL talent. But when you say a Texas, when you say Alabama, when you say a Michigan, these teams put people into the NFL. So just because you're paying all this money doesn't mean that player is going to stay. The player will take the money, and then they'll go back to an organization or go to an organization that's going to help propel them to the next level. That's where this whole thing kind of gets convoluted, and where some of these teams are looking to get a built-in protection from losing the talent they're investing in for the teams that are actually going to put them in the best position to get to the NFL. So everyone is vying for this power that is really, to me, I think it's everyone can have some form of it, but it creates this chaos, and you have these different parties looking for different things, and then you lead to an expansion. You're going to 24 teams. We don't need 24 teams in a playoff. Then you're going to go to 32 teams. It's just, it goes to this whole point of where how much the schools are like, how much money can I get from these players because they're not loyal, but we can still make money. And then you have the players saying, I'm not necessarily loyal to the school. I'm loyal to the dollar. And then I'll worry about development once I collect the paycheck. Then you have on the other side, on the outside, the NCAA is weak. They have no power. They're a non-factor. So now they have to run over to Congress. And you don't think this is Christian? This is the real question. When Congress gets involved with something, what are they looking for? Money. So then the question you got to ask you, why are they so invested in this? Like, it's about the kids. They don't give a damn about no kids. They're like, how can we? Where are our coffers? Where we get money? Right? That's the question you have to ask. So it's Ted Cruz and a couple of these other folks that are really pushing it. My mindset was never like, oh, they're doing this a betterment for the sport. They want to really. Saban may have that mindset. These mm-hmm. people are like, there's money to be had here. How can we get money? And really, the next question that to me, if I'm the government, I'm like, how can we tax this? How can we get compensated to make sure we're investing time and energy to pass a bill? That bill's gonna come with money. So what money can I get from this family? What money can I get from these universities for me to feel encouraged to pass a bill? So that's how you have to, when you see the voting, look at the voting patterns. And certain people will tell you that there's money involved with voting. It has nothing to do with the betterment of NCAA involvement. It has nothing to do with the betterment of student athletes, universities. It's money. So now they're like, why is Congress get involved? Because there's money and power involved. They don't get involved with anything that doesn't come with a dollar sign. So they want money, and they're going to get it. They're going to get it. If they pass this bill, there will be money to be had. And so that's why you see, again, NFL may have all this power, but guess where they're always at? White House.
Well, I was about to say, and I don't know if you've seen this, but I feel like they've kind of gone after the NFL a little bit, or they've kind of teased at it, given that they've mentioned similar things about the NFL making all this money and the streaming deals. I know there's been a lot of talk about that, which, to be fair, that actually will help the consumer out, because let's just call a spade. It is ridiculous nowadays. You have to have a subscription for this service. Like even the NFL, just using them as an example. I mean, you got to have a Red Zone package. You got to have Amazon to watch Thursday night game. You got to have Prime, YouTube TV. I'm like, it's getting ridiculous, man. So to be fair, on that front, hey, man, hey, they need to step in and do their thing. Go ahead, man. Help us out, man. We ain't trying to pay all these subscriptions, man. I already got Smitty on my tail about YouTube Premium on top of all the other subscriptions that we already have.
But Christian, from the NFL's perspective, guess what you're doing? Still paying for it. So look, the onus is on the consumer. If you stop watching something, guess what's going to happen? You change the behavior. But they know that about people. No one goes into any business realizing that if I can control people, they might gripe and whine. But guess what? If they're still opening up that pocketbook, I'm winning. Yeah. So Amazon is the same way. They're monopoly. Well, guess what? On Thursday night, where are you at? game started.
You don't have a choice. But that's the problem, though. They don't give you a choice, man. I don't know. That's a little bit above.
Yeah, they give you a choice. Don't watch.
When you host the sports show, you gotta have the subscription.
I got a Burberry shirt on. Guess what I didn't do today?
What's that?
I didn't gamble. I didn't go and buy lottery tickets. I chose to put my money in investing in a shirt that got a compliment from D. Christian Miller.
Hey, there you go.
I could have a t-shirt on and put however much, I'm not going to stunt, but however much this shirt costs and go over to get a lottery ticket. I made a choice as a consumer. I decided to buy this shirt, but some people feel like there's more benefit of buying lottery tickets. The consumer is always right.
Well, let me ask you about that, because I haven't got a chance to get your thoughts since the big crazy turn in this whole saga happened, which was we went from like the day before discussing, hey, Texas Tech, the attorney general, man, they're threatening to sue everybody that tries to take action against Texas Tech. And then immediately the next day, it's like, oh, breaking news, Brandon Sorsby and Texas Tech mutually agreed to part ways, like out of nowhere. We heard from Cody Campbell, Big Mouth Booster, that's my new nickname for him, doing interviews talking about, well, you know, we just decided ultimately, you know, would it, dude, come on, man. No, y'all had bad PR stunt after bad PR stunt, look like idiots, putting out podcasts and doing forums and all type of stuff, just to realize we probably shouldn't just play this guy. We can help him if we truly care about Brandon Sorsby, the individual. We can offer them every resource possible, all the resources that we were bragging that Texas Tech has, which is awesome if they do truly have, I guess, all that research and stuff for gambling addiction. That was very random, or I think that's what they said in the video. I don't know. But you can do all that without saying, hey, this kid is going to march out on that football field after a 2-game suspension, given the fact that he bet as much as he did. That being said, how do you view that whole situation? I mean, do you feel like that was a win for college football? I know some people are saying, hey, finally, it's like a sense of relief. We finally are gaining, I guess, our power back. Not really, but it kind of felt like that. Did you kind of get that sense with the whole Sorsby situation? I guess the follow-up, Brandon, is how do you feel like it turns out for him? Because he's entering the supplemental draft. I don't know a whole bunch about it other than, hey, if a team puts a bid in for you, you lose that pick the following year. We know he's a talented quarterback, top guy coming out of the portal, or one of, if not the top guy, $5 million player to Texas Tech. Great size, great athleticism. I mean, I think he's still got some traits he has all the traits, but some things he still needs to work on. But Brandon, do you see a team wanting to take that risk on a guy like this? Because I take him for his word, but they painted this as a very serious gambling addiction that required inpatient treatment and still going to need even more work, which, again, I respect mental health more than probably anybody. But the way they painted it, Brandon, I mean, that sounds like a lot to try to manage over a guy that we know in the NFL. I mean, everybody's replaceable damn near.
Absolutely.
How do you feel like this plays out for him?
I mean, it was the equivalent when Tiger Woods went to sex therapy after his wife called him, bro. It's like... I'm sending prayers and healing energy to Brandon Sorsby.
Amen.
The reality is he still hasn't been held accountable. Just because you do have an illness, because you do certain things, we all do dumb things in life, man. I remember when I was 22, I did a lot of dumb things. And they come with consequences. Sometimes the consequence isn't immediate. Sometimes it's further down the road where it shows up in your kids. You just don't know. Brandon Sorsby, if I were in the NFL team, I would not draft him. Undrafted, you have to prove that he's no longer, this is supposed to be the leader of your locker room. And I hear some people saying like, oh no, like it'll be fine. If you have a true addiction and you're gambling and it's that much of an addiction, and then you think you're going to get millions of dollars and that's going to all of a sudden just be quenched because you went to a 30-day outpatient type of situation. It's a battle, man. Addiction's real. And I think athletes have it at a higher clip. I think certain athletes all have this consistent trait of wanting to do something to the full level of their ability. But it also, it leaves us vulnerable to things like gambling, sex addiction, drug addiction. Like all of these things always seem to trickle over to athletes. It's because a lot of us are obsessive. And we have these traits that are great on the field, but when you take away a sport from a lot of us, we're then left with these demons that have not been resolved, and you're just you're putting all this money and energy into something, and all of a sudden it's taken away. You're going to end up taking it in another direction. So right. Brandon Sorsby, he felt like in his time where he made 90,000 bets, whatever it was, that's where he felt comfort, and it gave him a relaxation. So when you have certain things, it's like the changing of a habit is almost impossible, right? Because you have that habit that you're doing, you have the satisfaction or whatever's popping up from doing that said thing. And then at the end of it, you think about what's been done and then you repeat. So you can't change the habit immediately. You have to find something to supplement that. So for Brandon Sorsby as an addict, the question becomes, what is he going to do to move that energy that he had into gambling? Because he was still probably doing it. And I'm assuming he stopped. Where is he going to move that to if I'm an NFL team? Because I can't be with you 24/7, 365. We're with you for 6 months. And then if we make it great, if we make it to the playoffs, great. But then you're in the offseason, bro. What are you doing in the offseason to make sure that you're not getting caught up in some mess? And I just don't know if I can. The quarterback is different, bro. If this is any other position, I'd be like, you know what? Josh Gordon is a prime example. We'll figure it out. Quarterback, that's the leader of men. And he's 22, and he has a chance to really redeem himself, man. I'd give him a chance. But I would make sure that if I were the team, he would have to prove it. I'm not paying him any money. You're going undrafted. I'm pulling you in. I'm giving you all the resources to be successful. But there's no way I'm giving you a signing bonus. I'm not giving you any money that you can blow because you already got your NIL money from Texas State. They already paid you. You got four.
Yeah, I don't think they're chasing it either. Right? No. It depends on how much he got, because I was explaining too. You know, if it was a $5 million deal, they didn't give that to him up front, but they probably gave him a big lump sum. They might have gave him $2 million to sign, or maybe half of it. So I mean, he still is probably walking away with seven figures.
He got
so,
money.
Yeah, he's got definitely a good chunk of it, I would imagine. And then the other thing, Brandon, I was going to mention real quick before we hit this timeout and let you run is I would be a little nervous if I'm taking him in knowing he's not going to contribute right away. When was he doing majority of his gambling? I think he's doing it the whole time. Yeah. But I think a lot of it came when he was at Indiana's backup. You're telling me in the NFL, I mean, I can tell you, man, like, you know, when you ain't playing like that and you just got that kind of time on your hands, but you're still in it, living the lifestyle, I mean, it's – I'm not gonna lie, this kind of sounds like a recipe for disaster for him.
And Christian goes back to those three things I just said, right? The habit, which would be football, but if he's not playing because he's redshirted or he's over here biding time on the practice squad because he's not playing, is he doing to supplement his final gambling? He needed the rush. He bet on his own team. You don't bet on your own team. You know what I'm saying? He needed that fulfilled. So look, someone else may use sex as a supplement for that. He used gambling. So his gambling addiction is something he started, and it's not going to stop just because he gets in the NFL. It's going to get worse when he's sitting on the bench, biding time, waiting to be the man.
No classes. I mean, you trust me, man. You got plenty of time on your hands and plenty of resources available. I would be a little... I'd be a little cautious if I was.
You talking about the son, Deshaun Watson, Brandon? Oh, come on.
Hey, why are you bringing up Clemson stuff, man?
I mean, you know, you got some about some players use sex and, you know, massage therapy. Does that fit into your? You know what I mean? You know, hey, wow. Your trapezius muscles are very tight.
Hey, man.
I'm sure Brandon's all right. His traps are tight with that nice burger. Hey, he's got a lot of money on his neck. So I'm sure his traps are tight.
You guys are saying something real, bro. Deshaun Watson's a prime example of that. That offseason came, what was he supplementing that time with, bro? Being a creep. And I'm a Clemson grad. I can call him a creep. I'm just saying. So when you got that time, idle hands of the devil's workshop.
Oh, you preaching now. You preaching.
Mm. I'm just saying, bro, like that time and energy, what you doing? So, Christian, when you were done playing ball, bro, you decided to put all your energy in creating Miller's Edge. And that's become successful because you've taken that same energy that you had on the field, put it here.
Learning Spanish. I'm telling you, it's important to have something like that. I agree with you. You're right.
You got to have an outlet, man. You got to have something because you're right. I mean, but I don't know about the dude gambling. You know, I think it's kind of a hoax, to be honest with you, and talking about it's an addiction, and that's what they were trying to use. Okay, to, you know what I mean? Please. I ain't going there. You know, maybe Deshaun Watson, like Tiger Woods, have sexual addiction, which I can probably say every man that's well, let me know. I don't want to go there. Every man probably has, some type of sexual addiction. I mean, you know, because God created us a certain way, right?
And
sex is a good thing if done properly. When you're married with your wife, you know, he said, and your own wife, the Bible said, not the massage therapist, you know, not somebody else's wife, not the cheerleader for the Rams, you know, your own wife. And then you can do what you need to do. Smack it up, rub it, flip it, do your thing. It's all good in God's eyes. When you're married, you know, like chat. When you're married. Now, if you're doing it any other way, then you're walking in sin.
I love women, man. So look, that was always the issue and the challenge. And so again, you know, when you switch mindsets and stuff, it doesn't go away. You have to be able to change whatever the habit is. You got to find something to supplement that. So you got to
It's easy to do because. And I know, like, all season when, you know, you're doing your training, you know, guys take lavish trips. And, you know, so it's easy to get in trouble. I just talked to my good friend, Fred Stokes, who played for the Redskins back in the day, Super Bowl winning defensive end, one of my best friends. He's a pastor, too. We've just been talking about that, man. He sent me a picture of myself. He said, man, I pulled this picture, and I was thinking about you. And it was a picture of me. I'm playing stack backer, and it showed my eyes. You know, the old Mike Singletary eyes, but... My eyes were so locked into what was happening offensively. And the thing we took from that, and he said, man, you are locked in. And what the devil tries to do, catch this, somebody's going to shout on chat.
Hurry,
what the devil tries to do is run distractions. And I liken it to this. When I had hook coverage, right, every time we played zone, I'm dropping back 10, 12 yards in the hook. There was always something that ran across underneath me. Why did the offense run players across shallow routes, they like to call it? They want you to jump the shallow route so you can run a dig route, hit something longer and deeper behind you. We have to, same thing in our lives, brother. We got to stay locked into the gospel, locked into truth, because Satan is always going to run some distractions, whether it be massage therapists, whether it be pornography, whether it be gambling, whether it be alcoholism at the club. We got to keep our eyes focused on him, the author and the finisher of our faith. So I didn't know I was going to preach that on here, but that's you pushed me to do that, Brandon. That's a good word right there. That's a good word.
Great word.
Brandon, I appreciate you getting them to preach that word, and appreciate you always joining us on Thursdays, man. Good stuff as always, brother.
Hey, you got that shirt 3XL tall, 3XL tall. That shirt.
Hey, you ain't cut that.
You got the cut.
I'm a man of God, brother.
I didn't even see that. I know, bro. I got a feeling, my color, you flipped that phone. That was smooth.
I'll give him that. Brandon, we appreciate you, brother.
Always a pleasure.
Absolutely. After our break, we come back. We got Alan Lamparillo right here at Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app. From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Chris Perfett.
First round of the U.S. Open ongoing after a two-hour fog delay. So far, nobody scored lower than one under par on the notoriously difficult Shinnecock Hills golf course. Shares of the lead right now include Sam Burns, Patrick Reed, and Ludvig Augbjerg. Rory McIlroy and Brooks Koepka sitting even midway through the round. Scottie Scheffler is one over through six. First World Cup match of the day is ongoing in Atlanta between Czechia and South Africa in Group A. Both teams seeking their first points after suffering defeats in their first games. Czechia scored in the fifth minute off of Mikel Sadilek goal. Currently in the 43rd minute, heading towards halftime, 1-0 Czechia. Knicks parade is ongoing in New York, but owner James Dolan.
Select compact tractors sell in soon. Stop by Tuscaloosa Tractor at 3921 Skyland Boulevard East or go to Kubota.com.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past, that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
Tide 100.9 Tuscaloosa weather.
Here's your Tuscaloosa and West Alabama forecast. Rainfall amounts of 3 to 6 inches possible across western Alabama, and there is a small tornado threat today as the remnants of Arthur will continue to work its way through the region this afternoon. Numerous showers and storms expected. Rain could be heavy at times throughout the day today. 86, 72 tonight, 87 tomorrow with a good chance of storms, and we keep the storm chances going through the weekend, upper 80s. Richard DeWetting of the Weather Channel for Town Square Media Tuscaloosa.
It's 75 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with four-time SEC champion and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
Here is college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
We'll be right back.
into this Thursday Blitz edition of the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Very fitting, man. We got a whole party going on here. Had Brandon Clear. Now we got our guy Adam Lamprello of Lamprello Law Education and Advocacy. Lamprello-law.com is that website. You can get all your information, plus schedule a consultation. Learn more about what they do, whether it's criminal defense matters, academic misconduct, NIL situations, or even all those services like academic and career planning, test taking, preparation, subject matter mastery, all that good stuff right there for you at lamprello-law.com. And of course, the YouTube channel where they post free legal advice at Lamprello Law on YouTube. But now we're joined by Mr. Adam Lamprello right now on the show. Adam, welcome in.
Thanks, Christian. Great to be here.
Absolutely.
Lamprello, baby, what's up?
I am the new cigar smoking Lamprello.
So Adam, I'm doing the season when I'm on here more regular, then we got to have Reagan give us a cigar of the day that's free to he'll ship out, then you and I will smoke it together while we're on the show.
Absolutely.
I was about to say, R&R Cigars, man, great friend of ours here, partner on the show. Use that code Miller's Edge while I'm thinking about it. Adam, feel free to use that code.
Get them from R&R.
I was about to say, we'll have to get you to meet Reagan. I think you like Reagan a lot, and R&R is great.
When he had longer hair, they kind of could be kind of like homies, twins.
I feel like they hit it off.
I'm happy to report, too, that Alabama should recruit me because my vertical is now 14 and a half inches, and I benched 100 pounds 5 times.
Dang. Hey, listen, Adam stuck with it. You need to get him to keep his routine going with it, though, because I remember both y'all started around the same time.
I'm going to get back in, and I just got to get through the farm. I got a couple more events, and then I'm done, and I'm all in, brother. I'm all in.
Maybe we'll let y'all compete since you're the big competitor.
I'm like a friendly competition.
I'm saying a friendly competition. Y'all might be able to help each other out. That's all I'm saying. Maybe y'all can kind of compete about going to the gym and doing something.
Well, I also ran the 40 in 6.5 seconds. I've got a 6.5 40. One of the worst.
Wait. So you ran a full 40-yard dash? You stretched this up before, right? Because be careful doing that, Adam, because you don't run like that frequently, man. You got to be careful, man.
I know, and I have a bad knee, so that contributed to that absolutely abysmal, worst in the country 40-yard dash.
Well, right. to be fair, I feel like there's probably some linemen that are around that range. So I mean, it's not the worst I've heard. I don't think. I think I've probably heard of a little worse. Maybe at some point. But hey, fair enough. Good for you at least getting out there and doing it, man. Maybe we'll. You need to sign up and come do that. I think Alabama does something where they let people do bag drills. Maybe you can do that next. You can use all this training to come show out with all the other Alabama people that do that.
I would prefer. All right. I want to try to cover Ryan Williams. And see how that goes.
Well, Adam, I love you, but you can't cover Ryan Williams with a blanket, bro. I'm just kidding. I want to talk about something, though. We were talking about during the break. The chat heard it, but the radio version didn't. I was just happening to be looking around, and I noticed that they were saying, making this big deal about Alabama being, I know you talked about it in the first hour, last in recruiting, and I know fans get caught up in recruiting. We have always said, be careful of how much stock that you place in recruiting because it tells part of the story, never tells the entire story. But there is a little bit of concern that, I know Chris talked about the amount of players, 8 or 9, whatever, but that is true. But at the same time, when you look at their ranking, that has dropped as well. Now, here's what I'm going to say for the radio listeners. That I think Alabama and the luster, we always talked about the standard and all that, that's been gone. I mean, that started to leave, actually, or dissipate, I use that word, when Nick Saban in his final year or two, I think that luster began to dissipate. I call it the hourglass. I think, you can't sell those. Every recruiting class was a championship. 1 out of 2 years, Nick Saban was winning a championship. We got so many top 10 picks, so many first round picks, the Heisman, all these things that they used to really lean on or lean into when it comes to recruiting now has been dissipating and left the building. So what do Alabama have to sell? I mean, is it You know, my thing is, it's all about the money. Now you got LSU, you got A&M, you got even teams like Texas Tech and Indiana and all these other teams, South Carolina trying to grow up in the midst, even Clemson finally getting it through Dabo Swinney that, hey, you know, we need to spend a little bit of money. We got to plug and play some guys or else we're going to be trash. I mean, so what does Alabama have to do? And the bottom line is they got to find a way to spend money. I don't know what the conversations are like between Kalen DeBoer and Greg Byrne, but it's about money. They got to get creative. They got to get those boosters. They got to go out to those alumni that own businesses, whatever. The way Alabama's going to get back into the game, that they're going to start to have I don't even know that they'll ever be able to have a clear advantage of other teams, but to be able to get into that conversation of championship every year, they got to find money. And the reason why they're number 16, and you look at Texas A&M, money. You look at Texas, money. Florida's got money. Oklahoma's got money. Georgia, LSU. Even now, look at the other ones in front of them. Kentucky. I mean, South Carolina's not spending enough money. I mean, Vanderbilt. Look at how their program has transitioned. Why? Transfer portal. Because it ain't about just going to get a degree and then becoming the guy that goes to the moon or the exuberant doctor at Vanderbilt. It's about money. So Alabama has lost what they used to. I got to guard myself. I mean, we talked this the other day. I'm always in the mindset of Nick Saban and the standard and toughness and physicality and fourth quarter and all the things that we used to talk about with Alabama, but it's gone. It's gone. So what can Kalen DeBoer do to get them back to prominence? And to me, it falls back on the dollar. And being creative and having a general manager that knows how to build roster, who we're going to keep, who we're going to let go, who we're going to bring in, plug and play, and then the recruiting. So there's so many factors now. It's not just recruiting. It's all of those things that I talked about. It's managing your roster, right? Because some guys, you got to go in the NFL. You got to go to them and say, hey, man, I appreciate all you've done, but we're going to go in another direction. You got to be able to tell certain guys, at least a third of your roster every year, we don't want you back. Then I got to bring in plug-and-play guys. I still have to have a level of high recruiting, and then I got to manage and keep the guys that are very good and stop other people from coming into the chicken coop and stealing. And so that's what you got to do now to be able to be excellent in college football, which I hate it, and I hate that that's the way it is. But they got to be excellent in all those areas now and get past the NFL, the Heismans, and win a championship in every 2 years. All those things that it used to be, because those things are far gone.
Any thoughts on that, Adam?
I think just three brief points. Everybody wanted to go to Alabama because Nick Saban was the head coach. And Nick Saban won championships. And he was the greatest coach of all time. That's why Alabama was the gold standard, and it was just untouchable. Since Saban left, some things I think have fallen a bit, the physicality, to some extent the culture. That's number one. Number two, I think Alabama has looked a bit more mortal in the last couple of seasons. They haven't won as much, and when they've lost, it hasn't looked good, like to Georgia in the SEC championship and Indiana in the Rose Bowl. They do need more money, and they need a lot of it. Third, and this is probably going to be a controversial point, and I say this with all due respect, I think Kalen DeBoer is a great coach and a great person. I'm not so sure he's the right fit for Alabama, and I'm not so sure that in a few years we might want to be looking at getting maybe a better fit. And this year is going to really be a big deal for Alabama. If Alabama can get back to the standard, I think they can get back on track. But I'm a little bit worried this year because of the inexperience of the players and the questions on the defensive line. And that's why I think, you know, we're headed to a crossroads here. But I will say it before anybody else does. The next coach of the University of Alabama, if it happens in 3 years, 4 years, or 5 years, should be Kirby Smart. And I want to be the first to welcome him to Tuscaloosa.
Well, I'll give a little bit of pushback on this. I have no problem with that. I've always said, man, I would love to have a guy like Kirby back in T-Town, a guy that was here. You know what I mean? There's a lot of ties there. He understands probably Tuscaloosa and that culture probably better than any other candidate at this point in time. I don't know how that would be possible getting him from his alma mater at this point with everything that he's done and accomplished there. But who knows? That would be cool eventually to see that happen. But I'll say this. In terms of like losing the luster and having a little bit more of an uphill battle, like things are a little bit different, sure. But we got to remember, I mean, the last 2 years they did sign back to back top five classes, right? So this is the first year that we're seeing where they are behind, and yes, behind by a lot. Currently, we do sit last in the conference, but like I mentioned earlier, right? These are the important factors to pay attention to, right? Alabama only has 8 total commits. That's the lowest number of total commits out of anybody, right? And that's part of the main goal. Now, the way it's separated right here is by score, which I do believe. Let me see, by average rating. Actually, no, I had that wrong earlier. So by score, we are last. But if you go by average rating, we sit about, I want to say that would be like 12th in the conference. So even by that standard, we're a little bit behind, but they are more than likely going to land a couple of top 150 players before it's all said and done. And we know they're taking a small class. So you got to consider that. That being said, I don't think it's necessarily they don't have the money. I mean, Coach DeBoer just said recently that they're pretty aggressive when it comes to that stuff. I think it's a choice that they don't want to overpay. And you're talking about roster management. I think that's their mindset right now. What I'm getting at is I don't think the rating right now is a direct reflection of the perception of Alabama. While you might not be wrong in the sense of it's not the same in terms of them easily being able to sell that, yeah, these kids will come here and they're going to compete for a national championship. But that is gone. I mean, that's true. But I don't think that's why you're seeing a direct I don't think there's a direct correlation with how they're recruiting, if that makes sense. I do think they've missed on some guys, sure, but I don't think it's necessarily because of that at this point, at least. Now, if they struggle this football season, I think that will definitely start kind of, you know, inching in that direction. However, I think it's just truly more so they only have a certain number of slots that they're going to have open for guys to commit, and they're not looking to overpay guys right now given how young the roster is. I mean, I only think we have like 8 seniors total, and you plan on having a lot of those guys back. Now, what I did say earlier is while I do understand being a little bit more reserved in that regard, I do wonder, though, if, you know, you got to be careful it doesn't backfire because you never know what can happen. I mean, you can always plan that you retain a whole bunch of those guys. But if we've learned anything in college football, it's to expect the unexpected. And while it might seem right now that, okay, we'll have all these guys return, you never know. You might have a number of guys, which you expect some at least, to say, hey, we anticipate hitting the portal. We want more opportunities, whether it's money, whether it's playing time. So you just want to make sure you're also prepared for that moment when or if that comes. So that's what I would add to that. I don't think this is, hey, Alabama struggled a little bit last season with a couple of games. All of a sudden, they're dead last in recruiting, or, oh, they don't have any money. That's why they're – I think a good portion of it is calculated on their end, but the decisions that they're making. But then also some of it probably is. They're having a hard time landing some of the guys they probably ultimately would want just because, like you said, money is a big factor. And if you're going into this class and saying, hey, we're not going to spend a whole bunch this class per se because of what we spent the last 2 years and what we've got, of course it's going to be hard to keep up with the likes of LSU, Texas, whatever, because all they know is a bidding war right now. And we'll have to see if that even is sustainable, because there's a lot of word out there that a lot of checks, excuse me, are being written that won't be cashed. So we'll have to see on that. We got to hit timeout. We come back. We keep rolling with Mr. Adam Lamparello. We'll talk about this and more. The latest with the College Protect College Sports Act that is making some movement up at Capitol Hill. We'll get Adam's thoughts on that, his legal expert advice on that and more right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC.
Reduce bacteria in the wash without fading fabrics. Shop top brand appliances now at the Home Depot. Offer valid June 17th to July 8th. U.S. only. C-Store online for details.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next
freshest, best quality to our customers. So we just look at it as, hey, basically, we're your kitchen. You're just coming to eat in your kitchen. Taco Casa, under the biggest cactus in town.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases. Known for real care care and relentless advocacy. For guidance you can trust, call 201-317-5115 or visit lamparello-law.com. That's Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy. Proud partner.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start.
Roll Tide.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Hardy Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Hardy Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Hardy Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Hardy Construction at 205-752-9611.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
That's 800-923-6829. What do you have to lose? Call 800-923-6829. Again, 800-923-6829.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Here's your Tuscaloosa and West Alabama forecast. Rainfall amounts of 3 to 6 inches possible across western Alabama. And there is a small tornado threat today as the remnants of Arthur will continue to work its way through the region this afternoon. Numerous showers and storms expected. Rain could be heavy at times throughout the day. Today, 86, 72 tonight, 87 tomorrow with a good chance of storms. And we keep the storm chances going through the weekend, upper 80s. Richard DeWetting of the Weather Channel for Town Square Media Tuscaloosa.
It's 76 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Where the season never ends. This is your home of Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. We're joined by Mr. Adam Lamparello, Lamparello Law, Education, and Advocacy. Adam, I know we just were talking a little bit about Alabama recruiting, and then during the break, talking a little bit about this schedule coming up. But I want to get your thoughts here on this bill, right? The Protect College Sports Act definitely is making some movement. We just talked earlier kind of about the passing of the initial phase, and now it's moving on to the next phase. Can you kind of explain a little bit about that? I'm not sure most people have an idea, but how does that work? So it was initially passed today, 19-9, and that vote moves to the Senate floor. What are those next steps like, timelines? Kind of how does that whole thing look with this, Adam?
Sure. So it begins in a subcommittee, and if it's improved in subcommittee, it goes to the committee. And the committee voted 19-9 to approve it, meaning that it's going to go to the Senate for a full vote. And if there's a majority vote, it'll be passed in the Senate. Then it goes to the House for approval. And typically what happens if the House doesn't approve it outright is that they have a process called reconciliation, where House leaders meet with Senate leaders in a conference room and try to iron out any differences that there may be or any amendments that might be needed. And they do that so that ultimately it can lead to passage in the House and signed by the president. I suspect there'll be maybe a few wrinkles, but nothing significant, and I expect it to be passed within the next month or two.
Okay, and so if it's passed within the next month or two, does that mean how long until we can say it goes into effect? And say, you know, I got to go back and look because I know there's been a lot of, I guess, movement and things like that. But say that one of the pieces to it is a clear cap on things. Within a month or two, Adam, I mean, that's before the season starts. Are we still thinking like this could have an effect sometime this football season? Would they maybe push it, say it goes into a portion of the season? Would they then say starting next football season? What's your understanding on all of that?
I think there's going to be some grace period. It probably will not go into effect, I would suspect, until the next college football season, because there's still a lot of things to iron out. I mean, the bill does essentially create uniform standards for name, image, and likeness, meaning that it preempts any state laws. The question is, how are they going to define name, image, and likeness? In addition, there's the most important part of the bill, in my opinion, is an antitrust exemption, meaning that Congress has the power to literally limit what players can get. And so that's going to be another huge discussion. So if something prolongs passage of the bill, it's going to be getting down into the details of what are the caps going to be? How are we going to define what NIL specifically is? How are we going to deal with collectives? There's also a cap on agents of 5%. Is that going to go through? So I might revise my opinion a bit and say it's probably going to take a little longer because the devil is in the details, and that's where the House and Senate may differ somewhat. But ultimately, I suspect we will have a bill that will go into effect for the 2027-28 college football season.
And with the Big Ten and SEC still opposing this bill, or at least pieces of it, is there anything that they could do to maybe slow it down, to kind of hinder the movement of this bill? Is that even possible, or is it kind of now that it's in the hands of Congress and lawmakers, they're kind of just, because I know they're putting out statements. Is that all the power that they have, Adam? Do they have the power to say, hey, we won't abide by this, or we will take this action? Where does that stand for those conferences that don't really fully support it?
The SEC, I'm sure, has good lawyers, and what they could, and if they want to, should do, is immediately file in federal court for a preliminary injunction.
Oh, that word again.
against the enforcement of the bill. So a preliminary injunction would result in a hearing and the standards of irreparable harm and substantial likelihood on the merits. Now, if they lose, they can appeal it. What they can do is they can use the federal courts to delay implementation of the bill. And when a litigation is pending, you often see parties come together and try to settle the case, such as by revising the bill in certain respects to avoid a protracted litigation. But that's how they could string it out and ensure that it's not enforced for a considerable period of time.
Well, I guess we'll have to just wait and see the next step. I mean, are you pretty confident that there's a good chance that it smoothly is passed? I mean, do you feel like there could be some pushback from lawmakers in terms of the next voting phase, since we are hearing entities like the SEC and Big Ten come out in opposition of it? Or do you feel like it's still smoothly rolling?
I don't think that there's going to be enough pushback from the lawmakers. What I think might delay passage is Congress is going to want to work with the SEC and Big Ten officials to head off a federal lawsuit. And that's why they're going to try to address these things before the bill is passed, so that we don't see a federal lawsuit seeking to enjoin the bill. That's why it might take more time than I suspect, but it's still going to pass. Within 6 months, there will be a bill, and it will be better for college football, probably start in the 2027 season. But at the end of the day, it's gonna come down to, when you say you're gonna put a cap on what players can receive, what is that cap? How are you going to arrive at a number? When you say there's going to be uniform standards for NIL that's going to preempt state law, what do you mean by that? How are you going to deal with these collectives? So it's the provisions sound good, but they're going to have to work out those details in a way that kind of ameliorates the concerns that the SEC and Big Ten will bring to the table to avoid a federal lawsuit.
Yeah, because what I'm understanding, Adam, is the biggest piece that the SEC and Big Ten are pushing back on is their ability to maybe break away, if that is something that they elect to do. But it seems like the language in this bill basically reads that it would prohibit them from doing that. And not just them, now that they've lowered that threshold, it now would include the ACC and the Big 12 with the most recent revisions. But it's interesting because there's two tails of this whole thing when it comes to the media pooling and all that, all the rights there. And again, I'm not the biggest expert with all this. I'm just going off of what I've been able to read. Sounds like some believe, including, I think, Cody Campbell, the big booster from Texas Tech, that that would actually allow athletes to earn even more. I should say more. It would unlock billions in additional revenue for all schools, which I would assume would probably also help athletes in that regard. But it sounds like the SEC and Big Ten view it really the other way around. And it seems like they don't want anybody telling them kind of how they can, I guess, navigate that piece. Is there one way that you feel like is better than the other? I mean, the SEC and Big Ten, they seem like they don't want anybody's hands on what they do when it comes to that stuff. Sounds like others think it would be a good idea. What do you believe?
Well, I think that the SEC and Big Ten are acting the way they are because they have no reason to change. They're the kings of the hill. They have all the money. So why would they want anything to change? You know, at the end of the day, it may come down to a confrontation between Congress and those two conferences. Because at the end, you know, you have to ultimately say what we're doing is for the betterment of college football. And we're not going to sit here and kowtow to the ACC, to the SEC and the Big Ten. And we're going to make these changes. And if they want to file suit, they file suit. But we're going to make it so airtight that they're going to lose. I mean, you know, as they say, the inmates don't run the asylum. And I don't mean that in a derogatory way. But at some point, it's like, we know the SEC and Big Ten have all the money and don't want to in any way jeopardize their standing. But enough is enough. At some point, you got to fight back and call their bluff and say, we're doing this. You want to sue us in court? Go ahead. We'll win. We have the better lawyers, and you're going to deal with it. And that's how I would take a, play a little more hardball with them, quite frankly.
Wow. Well, we'll have to see. You'll definitely be keeping an eye on. I need to try to break it down and then learn.
Spoken like a true lawyer.
Yeah, it was.
I enjoy that.
And I'll represent people in Congress because they didn't have me on the committee to help advise about my plan. So I'm a little bit upset here. So, you know.
We're still pushing. No, we're still pushing to get Adam involved in some capacity, man. We got to get Adam on this committee and I don't know, help save college football, man. That would be dope.
Well,
I don't know
how we're going to do it. One thing that people don't understand, you know, as a lawyer, sometimes you have to fight like you're, you know, like it's a street fight, and you got to show, you know, you've got some, guts, and stop trying to appease everybody. And when you get to that point, it's amazing how much people will back off. Congress better stand on business and take care of it, and that's the end of the story. And if they don't, all right, then college football is going to get even worse, and it's become a super league where the top 10 teams essentially are the competing for the championship every year.
Wow. Well, we need Adam in that conversation so he can go stand on business if they're not going to do it. That's what it sounds like to me. Maybe we can keep trying to get that push, man. We're going to keep advocating. The more we get Adam on here, man, I guess we'll keep getting the word out there. Adam Lamparello needs to be on that committee one way or another. We got to hit a timeout. When we come back, we'll talk some more football, some Alabama football talk and more right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Quick timeout.
To Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Lease a new 2026 Chrysler Pacifica Select for $421 a month for 42 months, $39.99 due at signing.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393.
Once all the tickets are sold, you don't have to be present to win. To purchase tickets, Venmo at Brandon-Massengale or bring cash to Jess Sumner at Cypress Supply.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy. For guidance you can trust, call 201-317-5115 or visit lamparello-law.com. That's Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy. Proud partner.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Hardy Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Hardy Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Hardy Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Hardy Construction at 205-752-9611.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case, and this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
Your home for Alabama Crimson Tide football. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
WTBC. All right, real quick, this is our final segment here with Mr. Adam Lamparello. We got one more after that, but I wanted to get y'all's thoughts, gentlemen, real quick. I know we've talked a lot about Alabama, and we'll throw them here in this conversation in a second. But first, I want to ask about another team, and that's the Georgia Bulldogs. Right now, of course, everybody's doing their over-unders. Everybody's talking about their predictions for teams and their expectations. Joel Klatt was talking about Georgia, and they, I think, believe are tied with Texas for the highest over-under in the SEC at 9.5. We've talked about Alabama. There's 8.5. I think we've already hit that. We'll revisit it here in a second. But looking at Georgia, which I'll throw this on the screen so you guys can see this as well. I don't have their full schedule, but Joel Klatt has their top, I guess, or biggest games on their schedule. Looks pretty favorable. I mean, you got Oklahoma, Florida, Missouri, Alabama, Ole Miss, and South Carolina. Definitely very manageable. Again, the over-under is 9.5. When you look at this Georgia football team for 2026, are you guys going with the over or the under? We'll start with Adam.
I'm going with the over. I think Georgia will have at most 2 losses. The question marks for Georgia are going to be the wide receiver room. I think that they have talented running backs, Nate Frazier. Their tight end room is outstanding. They have a veteran team, but the wideouts are a question mark. And I think they're going to struggle on the road against Trinidad, Chambliss, and Ole Miss. And I think they're going to struggle in Tuscaloosa. And I'm going to that game if I am permitted.
of course you are. Yeah, of course you are. We're going to make sure we get up and do some good stuff while you're down here and have a good time. So, yeah, we'll definitely anticipate that one. And, listen, I think them on the road here and at Ole Miss, those are probably their two toughest games on their schedule. Outside of that, I would assume, and they might even be favored in at least one of those. Probably favored in almost every other game. Personally, I'm going to go with the over as well. If they do lose two games, I could see it maybe being those two. Oklahoma, I think, is going to be good, but they got that one at home. But, yeah, I'm probably going to go with the over. I think Georgia ends up at least around that 10-2 mark. Could lose three games. I mean, again, I don't think they're as dominant as they've been, but they still have got some nice pieces to work with. Pastor Payne, over, under on Georgia at 9.5 wins.
You know that's over. I mean, when the last time Georgia lost won 9 games? I mean, it's over. I mean, Georgia's the standard in the SEC. I mean, they might lose one game, maybe two, depends on the injuries and things like that. But you think about the defense that they got coming back, that young defense that was young at the beginning of the year last year when Alabama played them. They grew up and became extremely good. You got a quarterback in Gunnar Stockton that's going to be a seasoned veteran. They got their running game. The offensive line is extremely physical. They run the ball downhill. A very elusive quarterback. So, listen, Georgia's probably going to be 11-1. At worst, maybe 10-2. They will win the SEC or may get to the SEC championship playing Ole Miss. That's who I think that's going to be. I mean, LSU with Lane Kiffin. I'll get it right in a minute.
You think those are going to be the two?
It's LSU and Georgia, and then everybody else.
What about Texas? Have you seen their roster? I know they always are hyped up, preseason. They fail to live up to it. But to be fair, I think this is probably
all my exes live in Texas. They fill with a bunch of exes, and they all go looking for exes. Right? That means transfer portal guys. I ain't buying them until they do something. I'm not buying the quarterback. Got the last name, Elon Payton, and all this stuff. They carry that last name, but he ain't played nowhere in the stratosphere like they play. So I ain't buying Texas. LSU, the Bayou Bengals, and the Georgia Bulldogs will play in Atlanta for the right to be SEC champion. By the way, we talked about Alabama. The SEC has gone downhill. It's all about the Big Ten. And the Big Ten, from the top to the bottom, has taken over college football. They are the standard. We can't even make that argument no more. It used to be about the SEC and all this, that, and the third. But who's won the last three natties? It's been the Big Ten. Michigan, Ohio State. And yes, folks, don't run off the road. Indiana Hoosiers. Are you freaking kidding me? I mean, that would be like South Carolina, Vanderbilt, Kentucky just coming out of the SEC and winning the national championship. That's what that would be like.
That's kind of.
Yeah. I mean, so it's all about Indiana. It's all about Ohio State. It's all about those guys, Michigan, today had to blunder with the coach. But the SEC got to get some, they got to get some work done. The baseball, they representing their strong lead out in Nebraska. Basketball, women's basketball, strong. Men's basketball, Florida lost, though, but they're strong. Now the football is plummeting. The football, it used to be the standard over everything, but it's about the Big Ten. And the SEC got to better find a way to step up. And that's why I'm hoping LSU with Lane Kiffin, I'm hoping Vanderbilt stays strong. I'm hoping that Shane Beamer can get this program here at South Carolina, so that this league has become very competitive again. But right now, man, it's on the outs. It's all about the Big Ten.
Whoa, man. You must just be on shock jock radio timing this week, man. I mean, listen, we've had this conversation over the last few weeks, not with you, but we talked about this briefly, where I think it's closer than ever. I think top to bottom, there is an argument to be made that the Big Ten is definitely right there with the SEC. But to be fair, though, I don't think they've.
There is no argument.
There's an argument to be. No, top to bottom. Listen, I give you that. And I'm sure Adam would agree too that over the last 3 years, yes, they've had the last three national champions. They've had Indiana, Ohio State, and Michigan, right? Like, nothing wrong with that. I'll give you that. Like, they put some respect on the Big Ten's name. They have good football teams there. But I think it's also worth noting, though, that top to bottom, SEC still has really good football teams. And we looked at the top 25 rankings, and I want to say It was damn close. I can't remember who edged out who. But the SEC, we'll just count it up real quick right now. You had Ole Miss, you had Georgia, you had Texas A&M, Alabama, you had Texas, Oklahoma, and Vanderbilt. You had seven teams in the top 15, at least according to the AP top 25. I think the Big Ten had Indiana, they had Oregon, Ohio State, and let's see. They had a few more in the whole top 25.
They can have all these teams. It don't matter. When it comes to big game, the SEC has peed down their legs lately, the last 3 years.
SEC has not been what it was. I'll give you that. But to make it seem like the Big Ten has completely surpassed them from a top to bottom. No. From a top to bottom, standing or comparison, they have not passed them. Now, I would say maybe you could make an argument that it's about as close as it's ever been. They're getting there. They're maybe pushing towards that. But that's not the case. Now, I'll give them all the credit in the world for the last three national champions. Adam, what do you make of this this madness that he's throwing at us right now? Do you feel like the Big Ten is without a doubt surpassed the SEC?
I think Corey's right, and I agree. Oh. I do agree, and I don't want to agree, but I do agree. The Big Ten has gone ahead. What I want to see the SEC, and particularly Alabama, return to, and I've repeated this a million times, is physicality in the trenches. And you know, Corey, I've said this a few times. People think I'm crazy, but I think it begins with toughening up those quarterbacks. And I don't know why we do not have scrimmages where we can hit the quarterbacks and get them some real in-game experience. Because, I mean, if I call the East Carolina coach and I say, you know what, for the first game, don't hit Austin Mack or Keelan Russell. Like, the whole culture to me is not the way it used to be. You know, in the 70s and 80s under Bear Bryant, that's not how it was. So am I way off here or, you know?
No, you're not off at all. I mean...
Whoa! I understand the logic, but come on now. You played in the league 9 years. You know that the one thing you can do is touch a quarterback. So I mean,
All right, I'm right now confused. I'm looking on screen and I see Indiana at number one. I mean, no, this is not basketball, folks. And I know you, those that are listening via online at Tide100.9.com or on your stream or on live radio on the Dow. But this screen that I'm looking at per ESPN, the four-letter network, has Indiana, IU, 66 first place votes.
Why wouldn't they? They're undefeated. They beat Ohio State. They beat Alabama.
They don't have them. Them guys are gone. So now you telling me.
No, this is from 2025. It's 2025. Final ranking. This is final ranking.
Okay, I thought it was 27. I get ready to say because they're number one preseason.
I'm about to throw up in my mouth.
Okay.
It's easy, Tiger. But listen, I was pulling this up just to show you that the SEC still had seven teams in the top 15. So from a top to bottom perspective.
That's last year. What about this year?
Brother, we can only really off of last season. That was the most recent season.
I want to see 2020. What are the 2026 preseason?
I'll look it up when we hit this timeout, but we do need to hit a timeout. But as a matter of fact, let's do that so we can make sure we get out on plenty enough time. Adam, per usual, we appreciate you for joining us, always being a part of what we're doing, always great conversations. Just remind everybody how they can keep up with everything you guys are doing at Lamp.
I guess the slot machine. Just go to the slotmachine.com.
If you want to meet Sorsby, go to your local casino. I don't know. If you're interested in legal representation or education consulting, come visit us at lamparello-law.com. And if you want some free legal advice, come check us out on YouTube at Lamparello Law. Christian, it's always great to be on the show. Thanks for having me. Corey, great to see you guys.
Yes, sir. That's always warm. Adam, thank you so much, brother.
All right. Thanks. Have a great day.
Yes, sir.
Take care, Adam. Good stuff.
Our guy, Mr. Adam Lamparello. You guys can see it on the screen, lamparello-law.com. Check it out right now. We got to hit timeout. When we come back, we'll wrap things up. But we're going to stay a little overtime on our streams because we got to finish that conversation right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC.
That's 800-923-6829. What do you have to lose? Call 800-923-6829. Again, 800-923-6829.
For more from Tide 100.9,
let's it fly!
Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and SoundCloud.
back in briefly to this Thursday Blitz edition as we wrap things up. Big thanks to our guy Chase and everybody else behind the scenes making it all happen. All of our listeners via Tide 100.9 on FM, the worldwide app, and the streaming platforms. We appreciate you guys tuning in each and every day. And we look forward to doing it again tomorrow, same time, same place, right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC.